President Obama and lawmakers and even the presidential candidates have been trying to tackle the issue of crippling student debt in this country. When former Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels became president of Purdue University 3 years ago, though, he did something that hasn't been done in 36 consecutive years. He froze tuition for the next 4 years and cut student costs, making that Big Ten school less expensive than it had been 3 years before. But Mitch Daniels is also experimenting with new ways to help students pay for college, and it isn't a loan at all. Students at Purdue can pledge to pay a percentage of their future earnings in return for money to pay tuition today. The Daniels and Purdue call the income sharing agreement back a boiler. They're boilermakers, after all. And it's the first American university to officially embrace the idea.
We've created as one more option on the student's financial menu what is called an income share agreement. And it is not a loan. The student agrees to a contract to pay a specified percentage of their future earnings for a specified number of years, depending on what they're studying and what their likely career is going to be. If the student succeeds and does very, very well, the investor may also. But likewise, if the student's career doesn't work out, then the student is not on the hook, as they are inescapably, even in bankruptcy, from the government loan programs. But we'll see if there's interest. It's novel, and it might not have a lot of uptake.
How much uptake so far? Any?
Well, we just opened the window for examination of, last week, and we've had 3,300 visits to the tool that was built to show a student exactly what the terms in their case would be and how it compares to the private loans that they might otherwise take out.
Governor Daniels, let's take a second and role play a little bit maybe. I'm a student and I go to Purdue. I'm in a career that maybe I know isn't going to pay me a lot, but I really have a passion to be a school teacher. So how would it work for me to do one of these back a boiler agreements versus my friend down the hall in the dorm who's a pre-med?
You would likely be asked to pay a higher percentage of your income, and it might be for a slightly longer period. Now, there are caps on the amount of repayment the way we've set it up. There's a 9-year cap, which is shorter than government loans on the term that can be there. But in any case, it'd be purely voluntary. You would fix your exposure. It could be 5 or 6 or 7% of your income, and you would have decided that's an affordable amount. So there'll probably be, at least in the initial stages, some cross-subsidy of, let's say, teachers by electrical engineers. It's not clear exactly what the terms might be. If the number of these agreements grew large enough, the market would start to set those rates.
Well, you know, this sounds strikingly almost like an income tax arrangement. You pay a fixed amount of your income, not for 9 years if you're an American citizen, but in perpetuity. I suppose as a former White House budget director, the logic of this might have made some sense to you.
Yeah, I think the way to think about it is this would be the substitution of equity for debt. That is to say, in this case, the investor takes the risk that it won't work out. In the debt arrangements, the student is stuck regardless whether they graduate, regardless whether they get a job, regardless whether that job pays well or doesn't. And we made a lot of headway here at Purdue, both between holding down the cost and by counseling with students about the debt they take on. We've seen a reduction of some $50 million in outstanding student debt. Perhaps this income share agreement will appeal to some percentage of our juniors and seniors and bring that number down further.
Governor, doesn't all of this point to a major failure in the political system? We've all watched as everyone from President Obama on down has tried to address what's perceived as a crisis in student loan debt. Certainly the candidates, especially on the Democratic side, are running around coming up with various plans to either make college tuition free in the case of Senator Sanders or to help with major debt payments. You don't hear much about it on your side, on the Republican side, but it seems to me that this experiment that you're running and the need for alternatives points to a political failure.
First, careful about the your side. I'm long gone from partisan politics.
Okay.
But I take the point. I really do think that some new thinking's in order. The attempts by various candidates, maybe on both sides, to outpromise each other aren't taking us anywhere. There isn't going to be any free education. It's going to cost an extraordinary amount of money if you ever tried to do what's been suggested. It would further the well-understood phenomenon now in which we flood the marketplace with funds and costs go up. So I don't think those are serious proposals, and we're not proposing or imagining that this idea of ours is a replacement for new and better thinking, but at least it's new.
Governor Daniels, before I let you go, I have to do a little bit of politics. I'd be remiss if I didn't. The Indiana primary is coming up. I know you're not in partisan politics anymore, but you were an extraordinarily popular governor in the Midwest. Can the Republican Party, if Donald Trump is close, 1,200 delegates or something close to 1,237, can they legitimately deny him the nomination and still remain viable with their base, with their voters? How does that work?
Well, there's two questions there, and I'll speak clinically here. Sure they can. There's never been a nominating process that I'm aware of that didn't require a majority. And somebody who falls short of the majority, it's their job to get over the top, not somebody else's to hand them the nomination.
You were praised for turning around a terrible bond rating in Indiana, replenishing a depleted state budget, a highly respected governor and the model of Republican governors everywhere, like Scott Walker. The Republican Party on a third or fourth ballot, we're all aware of this, may be looking for a savior candidate from the outside who can unify the party. I have to ask, could it be you? Could it be Daniels?
You have to ask, but I don't have to answer. And I think I'll just say I'm completely committed to what I'm doing. I've made a promise to do it, and I will be doing it next year, I'm quite sure.
But that's not a no. I'm sorry, Governor, but that's not a no. It won't be me. That's not Sherman-esque.
Well, it won't be me. I told the folks out here, I said, put me down halfway between the General Sherman and Sergeant Schultz, if you remember the allusion, someone who knew nothing and had heard nothing, and that's my situation. So,
well, the Republicans may be looking for someone like Mitch Daniels if they can't get Mitch Daniels. Mitch Daniels is president of Purdue University, former governor of Indiana, former White House budget director in the White House of President George W. Bush. Thank you, Governor.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.